The magistrate, upon hearing this, had voiced skepticism that the condemned man really had it in him to generate a whole world. Taking up the challenge, the condemned man had begun to tell the tale of a world he had thought up in his mind, and to relate the stories of its gods, heroes, and kings. This had taken up the whole day, so the magistrate had adjourned the court. But he had warned the condemned man that his fate was still in the balance because the world he had invented seemed to be just as full of wars, crimes, and cruelty as the one that they lived in. The condemned man's stay of execution was only as good as the world he had invented. If the various troubles in that world could not be brought to a satisfactory conclusion in tomorrow's session, he would be executed at sundown. The next day, the condemned man had attempted to satisfy the magistrate and made a little headway, but in so doing introduced new troubles and gave birth to new characters no less morally ambiguous than the first lot. The magistrate could not find sufficient grounds to execute him, and so had continued the case to the next day, and the next, and the next. The world that I lived in with Jessery and Leo and Arcibald, Orlo and Jad, Ayla and Tulia and Cord and all the others was the very world that was being created from day to day in the mind of the condemned man in that courtroom. Sooner or later it would all end in a final judgment by the magistrate. If our world seemed, on balance, like a decent place to him, he would let the condemned man live, and our world would go on existing in his mind. If the world as a whole only reflected the condemned man's depravity, the magistrate would have him executed, and our world would cease to exist. We could help keep the condemned man alive and thus preserve the existence of ourselves and our world by striving at all times to make it a better place. That's why Alwash, the big stranger, had given me his clothes. He was trying to prevent the end of the world. Kelks was a contraction of the Orth words meaning triangle place. Triangles figured in the faith's iconography. In the story just told, there were three key characters: the condemned man, the magistrate, and the innocent. The condemned man represented a creative but flawed principle. The magistrate represented judgment and goodness. The innocent was inspiration that had the power to redeem the condemned man. Taken individually, these each lacked something, but taken as a triad, they had created us and our world. Debates as to the nature of this triad had triggered 100 wars, but in any case, they all believed in one interpretation or other of the basic story. At this point in history, the Kelks was very much under the heel of other faiths and had become especially bitter and apocalyptic. The premise of the whole faith was that sooner or later the magistrate would make up his mind, and so the magisters, as their clergy were called, could get their flocks emotionally whipped up as needed by claiming that the judgment was near at hand. Today's sermon was one of those. Kelks's didn't have long, complicated services like the Baysians. The service consisted of a harangue from Magister Sark, followed by interviews with the parishioners, concluded by another harangue. He wanted to know what each man in the cabin, we were all men, had done lately to make the world a better place. We might all be flawed, as how could we not, since we originated in the mind of a rapist and murderer? And yet, because of the pure inspiration that had impregnated the condemned man's soul from the innocent at the moment of her death, we had the power to make the world better in a way that would please the all-seeing and knowing magistrate. Crazy as this all was, I found it sort of compelling in my weakened state, and tried the experiment of playing along with it for a while. This might sound very unlike an avowed, but we were used to being presented with outlandish cosmographical hypotheses, and in our theorics we did this sort of thing all the time, that is, assume for the sake of argument that a hypothesis was true and see where it led. I'd known the tale of the condemned man for almost as long as I'd been alive, but sitting in this cabin I learned two things about the faith, or at least this sect, that I hadn't known before. One, that the events of our world, which happened in parallel, each person doing something different at the same time, were teased apart and narrated serially by the condemned man to the magistrate. There was no way to tell the stories of billions concurrently, so he broke them down into smaller, more manageable narratives and told them consecutively. So, for example, my trip down the glacier with Braj and Laro and Dag had been related to the magistrate as one self-contained tale, after which the condemned man had doubled back in time to tell the story of what, say, Ayla had done that day. Or if Ayla hadn't done anything unusual, if she hadn't been presented, say, with any great choices, the condemned man might have said nothing of her, and she might thus have avoided the magistrate's scrutiny for the time being. The full attention of the magistrate was focused on only one such story at a time. When your story was being told, you were under the pitiless inspection of the magistrate, who saw everything you did and knew everything you thought. So at such times, it was important to make the correct choices. If you attended Kelk's services often enough, you would develop a sixth sense for when your story was being told to the magistrate, and you'd get better at making the right choices. Second, the inspiration that had passed from the innocent to the condemned man at the moment of her death was viral. It passed from him into each of us. Each of us had the same power to create whole worlds. The hope was that one day there would be a chosen one who would create a world that was perfect. If that ever happened, not only he and his world, but all of the other worlds and their creators back to the condemned man would be saved recursively.